Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for coming back. It's 2020, and this is the first episode, and I hope you had a great holiday season, and I hope that you are so far having a good new year, and that I just hope the best for you and for all of us, that 2021 beats us better than 2020 did. Well, we've got a great lineup coming for you in the next few months, and I hope that you really dig it, because I think you will. And so, you know, without further ado, let's just get into it. My guest today, he's a master of low-risk cash flow investing, structuring deals, and disciplined investment systems. His ethos is to create wealth without creating a job. In the span of just 21 months and before his 40th birthday, his investments created enough passive income for both he and his wife to leave their jobs. Following his simple investment system that he's created and his 10 commandments of lifestyle investing, he negotiated deals with over 100 companies and multiplied his net worth to over eight figures. He's also the author of The Lifestyle Investor, a brand new book called The 10 Commandments of Cashflow Investing for Passive Income and Financial Freedom. Now, let's hack Justin Donald. It's a brand new year. It's 2021. Let me ask you a question. Why haven't you made the move to start the business that you've been dreaming of, the one that you've been talking about for perhaps months or years at this point? We all saw last year how quickly things can change and sort of get out of our control. So it's time to get control back, and to not let another year go away or slip out of our hands before taking that leap to turn your know-how into a thriving knowledge business. Today's sponsor can help you. They're Teachable. And Teachable wants to help you make 2021 your best year yet. From helping you identify your course topic to handling your payments, your payouts, your customers, and your taxes, Teachable is here to help. Teachable is a platform that enables independent entrepreneurs and creators to build and sell fully customizable online courses. Join over 100,000 instructors who have transformed their knowledge into world-class courses and have earned more than $500 million to date. Here's the best part. To help you get started, as a special offer for our Hack the Entrepreneur listeners, you can visit teachable.com/hack. and enter your email for a free 7-step guide that will walk you through the exact steps you can take to create your own online school and start making money. That's teachable.com/hack. Enter your email for a free checklist to help you get your online school started. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today, the first episode, actually, of 2021. I should say that right now. And I want to welcome you, Justin. Welcome to the show.
John, thanks for having me, especially being the first one of the new year. So that's really cool. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. I'm so happy you're here. I've been looking forward to this. And yeah, it's a new year. So let's just jump right into it.
Sounds awesome. Can't wait.
All right, Justin, I know you are a man who wears many hats, and we're going to talk about a few of them throughout this, but let's start with Justin, the entrepreneur. So Justin, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Wow, what a great question. You know, I feel like over the course of my life, I've had many defining moments, and each one has led to the next chapter, the next evolution of my life. From the standpoint of an entrepreneur, I really think when I got my first start and first taste of entrepreneurship, that really was the ticket to me. I had been working with a company called Cutco. And while in college, I sold the product to pay for my tuition. And then in between my junior and senior year, I had an opportunity to run my own office for them. And I had a nice small territory in my hometown, a suburb of Chicago. And I didn't know what I was doing. I'm telling you, like, I did not know anything about entrepreneurship or running a business. All I know is I was recruiting people. I was training people. I hired receptionists. I was training them. And I was really just trying to kind of fake it until I make it, because I didn't know what, I didn't know what I didn't know. And I don't even know that I knew what I thought I knew, you know?
Yes.
But what I did realize is that it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed working with and leading people. And so that aspect of it was really rewarding, to coach and train people into success. And that really benefited me as I helped start a company with a couple of friends that's a single family home maintenance company based out of Dallas called IFM Restoration, that has grown into one of the largest single family home maintenance companies in the US. And those skills came in tremendously handy, you know, with that company. And my role there was a little more of a short-term role, more as a capital partner and you know, helping in the areas that I know best and building out some of the recruiting practices, building out some of the insurance, partnering and leveraging relationships that I have just to be able to help scale the company. And really even just working with our current team, I did a lot of the internal hires and built a lot of that system too. And that really, that foundation that I had was incredibly important for that role and other roles as I have gone on to do a lot of coaching and consulting and advising of companies and entrepreneurs across the US, well, across the world.
So that one thing is that ability to sort of like step off of one thing up to the next and like to do that confidently?
Yeah, you know, I think that I can get out into uncharted territory and find my way to navigate. I may not know how to do it in that moment, but I at least have the confidence to go out and start trying, because I know that I'll eventually figure it out with enough information, experience, data. I believe that if I can become immersed in whatever it is, I can figure it out.
Ah, there we go. So if you become immersed in it, you can figure it out. And it really is just, or would you say it's just sort of like a mindset of knowing you can grow into this position?
Yeah, there's no doubt a mindset. And actually, I want to be careful that I don't take too much credit, because I truly owe the majority of my success to anyone and everyone that's ever helped me. So when I say I can get in there and figure it out, I mean, I've got great mentors and people that I've modeled along the way. So like by default, the first thing I do is I model someone else, and I model someone that has the results that I want. And I'll reach out to them frequently if I need to, in order to get the answers that I need. So part of when I say I can figure it out, I believe that I'm very resourceful in the fact that I will use my network. I will use people that have had success in a certain area, and I'll model what they do, and I won't innovate until we have what is working at a high level.
Okay. I like this. I like this idea of modeling other people, like that willingness to also like accept what you see in other people and what other people may guide you with. But thinking back to like that first company with like Cutco, I think you said, and getting like moved into your own office and trying to figure everything out. My guess is you didn't have a huge network at that point to like look up to people. So just thinking back to like, so somebody listening who's in that position right now, listening to you, you don't have that network, but you still want to learn from others. How do you do that?
Yeah. So I would just connect with anyone that is in the space that is doing a better job than me. Let's start there. I don't know that I'd love to go to the best person, but they may not return my call. So why don't I just find someone that I can talk to that's getting better results than me? And if I can't find anyone, then books have always been my greatest resource. I mean, most of my original mentors that got me the best start to most of the things that I've done have come from authors that have no clue that they had any impact on me whatsoever. I was just a student of theirs from afar.
Right. I like that. And that's true, because no matter where you are, what position you are, who you know, I mean, you can pick up a book and learn it. But I like this idea of just like, even just finding somebody who's just getting better results than you. They don't have to be Elon Musk.
That's right.
There's like a huge gap in between those two places. Okay. So this ability to sort of go into the uncharted sort of territory and do that confidently is your thing. Now we like to talk about this, like find that thing, right? And just do that, do more and more of that. But can you just like, Justin, within your day-to-day, within the business that you run, can you tell me something that you're absolutely not good at?
Sure. Details in general, I'm generally not the best at. I can muscle through them to a certain degree, but too many details really bog me down. I have to have people in my world and in my life that support me in that role because it is not a strength of mine. And additionally, I feel like in the beginning of my career, another Achilles heel was indecision. And that was something that I feel like plagued me for a long time until I realized that it was up to me and it was actually my choice, that I didn't have to live in that world and that it's probably better to just make a decision and deal with whatever the outcome is from that decision and move on from that than it is to hem and haw back and forth to figure out what the best possible thing is to do when you're unsure.
Ah, I like that. I like that. And is this ability, or I mean, this clarity you had, some people, when I ask them like what they're not good at, they do sort of hum and haw. They're not sure what to say because we do like to sort of avoid those things, but you were just confident. This is what I'm not good at. Is this something that you were aware of like early on, this like, I guess, lack of being able to deal with the details, or is it something that you like sort of had to find out the hard way?
So I think that I'm pretty clear on what I'm not good at. And I think that it's really good to be honest with yourself because then you can put people around you that support you in ways that you can't do yourself and they help make you and the business better. But I think to a certain degree, details, I can get them done if I have to, but it's like zapping my energy. So it's not that I can't do them, it's that I just dislike it. And when there's too many of them, it is overwhelming to me. And that's how I know it's not my superpower and it should be hired out to someone that it is their superpower. So that one, it's like I wasn't aware on a small scale, but I was greatly aware on a large scale. And with indecision, you know, I don't even know that I suffered from indecision at the beginning until people pointed out that I had a hard time making a decision. And it probably wasn't until like the 20th, 50th, 100th time that I heard it, that it actually latched on.
Fair enough. So, I mean, years later, it sounds like you had absolute clarity on it, but it took a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fair enough. So from like being thrust into like starting this office, hiring people to work with you, all this, figuring it out as you go, to now you, Justin, the lifestyle investor. What is this lifestyle investor that you're doing now?
Yeah. So it's an interesting thing. I went from being more of an entrepreneur that invested money to an investor that likes to invest in entrepreneurs and into businesses. And so what the lifestyle investor is it's my brand that I've created because for years I've been investing for 22 years now in some way, shape or form. I started investing when I was 18. And though it was small amounts then, relatively speaking, it was still, you know, I was still always very consistent about how much I invested out of each check and each year. And as my income grew, the amount that I invested grew. And then as I got more aggressive with keeping my living at the same rate that it was, my lifestyle the same, even though my income was growing, it gave me the ability to invest even more. And so in many of my years, while I still had a job or was running a business, I had responsibilities, I was able to invest 50%, half of what I was making. But that's because I was really aggressive. And so I've just learned a lot over the years that I wanted to transition out of the doing where my time was producing income and more into the having an abundance of time and freedom of time and have assets produce income. And so the lifestyle investor was kind of born through that idea that I wanted to earn cash flow from my investments, wanted to earn cash flow from assets, from, you know, whether it be real estate or companies I invest in, or maybe it's debt instruments. whatever it is, I want to live on that and not based on income that my time produces, because I have had the experience of having a business, but feeling trapped in that business, feeling like everything has to go through me, or if I work harder, I can make more, or, you know, everything is kind of, there's some component of it that starts and stops with me. And I just didn't want that. I didn't want my income to be tied to that. And I didn't want my time to be tied to that. And so as I became more of a practitioner in the space of investing, and really over the last 15 years, getting into alternative investments and really finding some strong strategies and philosophies, and it really has helped me as this brand has rolled out, where I'm able to teach people how to do it. And so the Lifestyle Investor to me is a passion project where I can help other people achieve financial freedom through some of the coursework or masterminds or products that I've created that support this type of education. It's definitely different than what most people have heard.
So this is, well, you said at the end, a passion project more than like, because it's obviously not passive in any way.
Correct.
Writing a book, going out there, doing these things aren't passive, right?
Yeah. And for me, I have a philosophy that if I'm going to spend my time doing something, so I worked really hard to put myself in a position where my time doesn't produce my income. And so my investments do, and we've got a great life and my family is wonderful, but I'm not going to do nothing. So what I decided, and that's just even boring to think about, to just sit on a beach all day. So what really is exciting, and in the back of my mind, I knew if I'm going to spend my time doing something, it either needs to be something I'm really passionate about, or it needs to be something where there's, you know, a good financial reward or compensation, or a combination of those two things. And what I found myself doing, I took a year off. So in 2018, I didn't work and really wanted to get clear on what some of the next steps were. And what I found myself doing, though, is analyzing deals on my free time and teaching people what I was doing. And so it was eye-opening to recognize that when I had all this free time, I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have any job. And I was trying to figure out what was next. I was spending a lot of time away from technology, journaling, reading. But what kept showing up is that I wanted to look at these deals. And I kept vetting deals and I kept teaching people what I was doing. And I had so many people that just kept saying, hey, you need to teach this. You need to create something bigger. You need to write a book. You need to create a course. You need to have a mastermind. And I pushed it off for quite some time. And eventually I just got enough persistent encouragement that I decided to roll it out.
How has the year 2020 and now into 21, obviously the world and lots of things have changed, especially in business and the way some businesses are done, most businesses. How has that changed the aspect of lifestyle investing?
Well, there are more opportunities now than I've ever experienced. So again, I've been investing for over two decades and I've seen more unique deals. I've been able to negotiate some of the craziest terms you've ever seen. I tell professional investors some of the deals that I'm doing and they're like, "No way. I don't believe it. I'm not going to believe it until I see the contract." You know, it's some of the things that are out there are just so unbelievable. So there are really great deals. There's all kinds of ability to negotiate and structure a true win-win, not something that's lopsided from the person that, you know, in either direction. And to me, that is kind of a good sign of what, you know, if you're looking for what's not going well, you're going to find it. And if you're looking for opportunities, you're also going to find it. And so I've just been focused on that. And I also think people have been more aware of their financial situation and what could happen with the way that they're currently investing, with a lot of fluctuations maybe in the stock market or not having access to their money in certain ways of investing. And so I've just had a huge uptick in people that want to learn this and joining some of the programs and products that I have and that I've built. So it's been a really rewarding year on the investor side, but it's also been a rewarding year on the coaching and education side.
Interesting. I like that. And again, I think it goes down to a certain degree, it goes down to mindset. Like you said, like if you're looking for like wins or things to do, there are huge amounts of opportunity because of these changes happening. And if you're not looking for those, you can just find the negative if that's what you want.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And it is, it's what you focus on. And there's an abundance of opportunities. I mean, one of the things I write about in my book is I've got a whole section on mindset. And I do believe mindset dictates everything. It dictates the success you're going to have. It dictates your general frame and view of life. So I think that that's just a powerful component to be aware of and to continuously strengthen.
So lifestyle investing in, and then say, you're talking about deals and finding like deals better than you've found before. Can we get sort of like specific, like what is this real estate? Is this like a certain type of business? What is this like that you're helping people invest in?
Well, it's all across the board, John. I mean, I love real estate, so I'm always happy to get into, you know, especially cash flowing real estate. I love rentals. I love especially larger units or number of renters inside of one property. So it could be mobile home parks, apartment complexes, storage. The list kind of goes on and on. I love even industrial distribution centers. I mean, anything that has a rental component, I probably am a fan of. I mean, most real estate at this point in time, I have some exposure to. I either have something active or I've been in it, unless it's super obscure. So I'm a huge fan of real estate because it can be very hands-off and you can also use leverage, right? You can put 20% down and buy most any real estate out there. And that to me is a huge win because you're using other people's money. So whether you're investing directly yourself and you're on the deed, you own it, or whether you're investing with a syndicator or into a fund where they're using leverage in an appropriate amount, right? We don't want to, you know, we don't want this to be too crazy to subject too much risk. So I think those are great. But at the same time, I love debt structures because with debt, if anything goes wrong, you're the first person to be paid back, especially senior debt. So I love senior debt funds. I love investing in businesses in a senior debt capacity. I love investing in real estate in a senior debt capacity. So that's one where you're often not going to get equity. You're just going to get a real nice interest payment, but you're going to get monthly cash flow. And that's nice. But what one of the things I do a lot is I negotiate in equity kickers for that. So instead of investing for equity, I'll invest for debt, but I'll negotiate having some equity for that investment. So it ends up being free equity because you get all your money back at whatever the end of the term is. So that's a unique way to structure a deal. And then I love, you know, I said this at the beginning, I love business. I love entrepreneurship. I love investing in entrepreneurs that I believe in and that I think have a great business idea or that they have a proven concept. So I invest in a lot of operating companies. I like being the capital partner. I don't do much of the day-to-day. I don't do any day-to-day anymore, but I don't do much on the operations. I would much rather be in a support role where I'm coaching owner operators. And I love structuring deals that way. So sometimes I'll come into a deal and I'll just be a minority equity holder, or sometimes I'll come into a deal and I'll just buy the whole company. And other times I'll have partners and we'll, you know, gobble it up. And so in many situations, I am a majority owner, but in other ones, I'm a minority owner. And so it just depends on the situation, depends on how much involvement I'm going to have. But I know the world of business well. So to me, I mitigate a lot of risk investing in a company when I know already how to run a company and how to scale a company. So that to me kind of de-risks that type of investment.
And so like speaking from, I mean, this will be general sort of like obviously without specifics, but say an entrepreneur running their business, they've had a great year and like they're starting to like throw off some extra money. If somebody comes to you like that and has like, okay, I have this cash flow now that I would like to invest into something else, what would like, is there some sort of a metric or something they should look at, Justin, where they should be like using that money and investing it somewhere else for cash flow, or throwing that money back into their own business for potentially more and faster growth.
Yeah. So my opinion on this is you should diversify some of your profit outside your business. So if your business takes off and you do an amazing job and you invested everything, you reinvested all your profits back into your business, then you're a genius. But 9 times out of 10, 99 times out of 100, that doesn't happen. The business doesn't take off. It either struggles to get by, it implodes, or you can build at least maybe some sort of lifestyle business out of it, but it's not going to the moon. So the reality is it probably makes sense to take some of that risk off the table and create some passive income in other assets that are uncorrelated to your business. And now if you have industry expertise and you have an opportunity maybe to buy another industry or another business inside your industry or invest in it, and you have a competitive advantage because of your knowledge, that's different. You can do that. But again, that's still diversifying outside your business. But I even think it'd be great to get something that just creates cash flow. So in the event that there's ever a pandemic or some other crazy situation where income halts or there's a panic on whether the business is going to be able to operate the way that it is, if you have enough cash flow to cover your expenses, at least your bare minimum expenses, it really makes weathering that storm a lot easier.
Yeah. And so last year at this time, if you had said, well, if there's a pandemic or something that completely changes everything for your business, most people would have rolled their eyes and been like, well, the chances of that happening, Justin, are pretty slim.
That's right.
But now we know. And I mean, I've talked to like 100 business owners since then. Some of them, their businesses have done way better. Some of them have been completely decimated just instantly. That's just how it worked. And maybe they'll come back, maybe they won't. But thinking in that way, I like that, of using that sort of profit to and take it outside of your business. And if you want to stay in business, I mean, you can put it in other people's businesses, but at least diversifying in that sense, I think helps.
Yeah. And think about it this way. Before the pandemic, the odds were so far stacked against you that your business would succeed at a high level, right?
Right.
Now we actually see that thing like a pandemic or situations like this can happen. I mean, we're already seeing some of this just in an election year, what can happen to businesses that they have no control over, regardless of what side you're on, right? And you can see this in a lot of other things that happen too. An industry gets clobbered for some reason or another. And so I feel like it's even in more plain sight than ever before, all the risks that are out there, even the ones you didn't consider. But even before all this was out there, it was still, you know, the percentage of businesses, what is it? I think it's 4% of businesses last beyond a few years. So, I mean, it's like the odds are so far stacked against you. You might as well take that into consideration as you're building it. Most of us are not Elon Musk, where you can actually take all your money from one business and roll it 100% into another business. I mean, if that didn't work out, he would have lost everything, but it did work out. Now he's the wealthiest guy in the world today at this point.
That's the upside, I guess. One person gets to do that in all of it and become the richest person in the world.
But you don't hear a lot of people doing it because not a lot of people are doing it.
Exactly. There's only one Elon Musk, and I don't know if we'll see another one in our lifetime. So yeah, it's odds are definitely stacked against you in that sense. So today's January 11th. Tomorrow, the 12th, your new book comes out called The Lifestyle Investor. Who should read this book?
Well, I really wrote the book for anyone. And the goal here is if you're a novice or you literally have had no investing experience at all, you can get major value out of this book. And if you're an expert and you've spent a lot of time in the investment world, you can get a lot out of it. I've got a really good friend who's been in the investment world for 20 years. He's run a business. He's been in charge of lending and mortgages. And I mean, this guy knows finances, numbers, investing like the back of his hand. And we just had a conversation. He's like, my mind was blown. Like this whole section, I mean, he just specifically said the section on velocity of money. He's like, I never thought about that. I never heard of that. Like this one, you know, amongst many other concepts were just foreign to me. So to me, it doesn't matter how much experience you have as an investor. There is very low hanging fruit, I believe, for everyone from this book, because the way that I write in it is just the strategies are different. My four core philosophies that I build the book around are different. My 10 commandments of cash flow investing for passive income and financial freedom, I just call them my 10 commandments or my 10 criteria. It's different. There are some of my criteria or my commandments that, from what I have heard, most people have never even considered.
Surface wise, can you just tell us what this velocity of money is?
Yeah, sure.
Because that definitely piqued my interest, and I'm sure it did others.
Yeah. So if you think about, so most people invest kind of for the long haul. And so maybe they put their money in the stock market and hope that it works out. And hopefully they don't touch it when times get crazy. So the problem most people have is they pull money out when they shouldn't and they put money in when they shouldn't. So if you just invest long term and you don't touch it, that's the best. Most people can't do that, right? So then there are other investments where you have money in qualified plans where you can't really get that out unless you get a penalty or for maybe like one restriction, unless you self-direct and you're still limited. And then you've got other people that invest in companies. They invest in pure equity and hope that this is one of the 4% of companies that makes it. But if they make it, they're not going to know for 10, 15, 20, 25 years. So it's kind of like making a loan, like a 0%, like an interest-free loan for an undetermined period of time in a very risky investment. You know, that to me is what most equity investing is. You've got other people that will tie their money up in like, you know, venture capital funds for 10 years or more. And so when I look at that, I realize that that can work for some people, but for me, I'd rather get more utility out of my money. So why lock something up for 10 years and not use it and not get the utility when what I could do is I could invest in a way where I get my initial principal paid back quickly within a year to 2 years. So most of my investments, the goal is to have my initial principal back in 2 years. Sometimes with some of the real estate deals I do, it's 3 years. But I want to get it back fast because I want to recycle that money. So instead of investing in one deal for 10 years where all my eggs are in one basket, I could invest in, let's say I use 2-year terms on a lot of these. And maybe I do some real estate investments where my initial investment is refinanced out when the property gets refinanced. Maybe I do some debt plays where I have 1-year note or a 2-year note. Maybe I invest in some operating companies where I have an accelerated distribution schedule that pays me back my initial investment within a year or 2 years. So these are a lot of different ways that you can invest and get your initial principal back, and then you can reinvest it. So let's say my average term is 2 years. Well, now I'm getting my money back 5 times. I have 5 different investments, 2 years each. That's the same 10-year time frame. And I have 5 different investments in 5 different potentially asset classes where not only did I get cash flow during every single month of that 10 years, but I also got my principal back within 2 years, we'll say. And I took that same money and reinvested into another deal. So when I got my money out on a refinance, or maybe I did a debt deal and I negotiated an equity kicker, every single one of these deals that I do has some equity in some way, shape, or form. So even when I get my money back, the investment performs as if my money's still in it. So I still have equity. I've got all my cash back. And I just keep reusing those same dollars to invest in new deals. So I've hedged my risk by being in 5 different deals. I've gotten equity in all 5 of these deals. I've gotten cash flow over the same time frame, all 10 years on a monthly basis. And I have my initial investment back, and it just cost me that one investment the whole time.
Wow. So that is the velocity.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it's interesting. Most people don't look at it that way because they don't know that those types of investments even exist.
I think as you were explaining it to me, that's exactly why I would never have thought of that. Cause I was like, well, that's not how this works. It's like, if you want that sort of a deal, you got to put it in for 10 years. That's just how it is. And lots of us don't want that. So we just stay away from it.
Right.
Interesting. Interesting.
And really, it sounds probably a lot more active than it is. A lot of these deals, you can just work with reputable groups that have a great track record and invest it with them. So it's not like you're doing the work on the investment. You're just doing the vetting to make sure it's a good investment. Or you're joining a group that already does that vetting for you and you just tag along on all the investments. Either or. So in a lot of them, it's just having them lined up ahead of time. So in many cases, so right now, if I have one of my investments that comes back and I get a return of my principal today, or maybe it pays out today and everything, the deal's done and I get my return, I have all these places that I can go now because I've spent so much time researching it over the years. And so this is what, you know, a lot of the people in my mastermind really like, and the people that invest with me in the different investor club capacities that we have, they like the deal flow. They like the invisible deals, deals that are not available, that most people don't know about. And they like getting access to them. And I always get some sort of preferred terms because, or I shouldn't say always, I almost always get some sort of discount. Maybe it's a discount in fees. Maybe it's a reduction of the minimum to invest, a bunch of other things that we've been able to do. But I like being able to give my community whatever it is that I'm getting. I just pass that along to them. We all go in at the same terms.
I love it. I love it. So this has been a lot of fun, Justin. So you've piqued people's interest. There's a new book. It comes out tomorrow. You've told people sort of the gist of it, but where can they go find it?
Yeah. So you can go to justindonald.com/freebook, and you'll be able to get the book there. During launch week, it'll link you with Amazon anyway, but inside that page on my website, there are a bunch of free bonuses and perks, and that's a free book plus shipping. So if you don't want to spend as much as it is on Amazon, you can go there. But one thing I do want to point out is that all the proceeds of this book, no matter how you buy it, all go to charity. So I really have a passion for educating people on the standpoint of financial freedom. So people like you and I, John, here's how you can have financial freedom. But there are a lot of people in this world, and even in the US, that don't even have their basic human freedoms. And there are kids that are being human trafficked inside of our own states right here in the US that most people have no clue about. And what I want the proceeds to do is to go and buy their human basic rights and freedoms. And there's a group that I'm donating this first session of the launch to called Love Justice International. And they really do a great job all over the world finding these human trafficking groups and stopping it and rescuing kids. It's really an incredible organization. So I'm passionate about freedom on every level, to have your basic human freedoms, your rights that you should have, but then also for people to experience financial freedom on their terms.
What a great fit for the book.
Yeah.
Are you active on any social media, Justin?
Yeah. So I've got a Facebook page at The Lifestyle Investor. I've got a YouTube channel. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Instagram as well. I don't do Twitter a lot. I've got an account. Maybe I should do it more. I don't know. But most of my stuff's Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn.
And that's The Lifestyle Investor or just Lifestyle Investor?
So that's a great question.
Probably track you down on either.
Let me look that up real quick, John. No one's ever asked me that this whole time. Can you believe it?
Facebook.com/lifestyleinvestorlive.
Perfect.
Nice. Right off that's what your website says anyways.
There we go. Here, I got all my handles now. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. So facebook.com/lifestyleinvestorlive. And my Instagram handle's at Justin Donald.
Awesome.
And then people can check out my podcast too at justindonald.com/podcast or search for The Lifestyle Investor on iTunes.
Perfect. We will find links to all of this and I'll put it onto Hack the Entrepreneur, so it's easy for you to find. We'll just gather this all up. Otherwise, you can just head straight over to justindonald.com/freebook, get the book, or /podcast, get the podcast, or just get onto the email list right off justindonald.com. Justin, once again, this took us a couple of tries to get to this, to do this interview. So I'm glad we got to do it. I appreciate you stopping by and I appreciate you sharing so openly. And just good luck with the book and keep doing what you do.
Thanks, John. I appreciate you having me. It's fun kicking off the year with you, and I appreciate being able to share what's been so exciting and important in my world.
All right. All right. All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed that, the first episode of the year, and I hope that you come back soon and many times throughout the year. Justin, his new book. As I said, it came out yesterday for us, so early January 2021. And I have to say, I'm looking forward to picking up this book. He's intrigued me, and I definitely want to hear more about his philosophy of money and, I guess, the other 9 commandments that he's come up with. So justindonald.com is his site, and so you can find it anywhere. I'm probably just going to head over to Amazon and get my own copy. But you're welcome to get it wherever you get books. It's out there for you. All right, hacktheentrepreneur.com. It is the website. I hope you check it out. We got a great blog, podcast, email list. Just sign it all up. Go for it. It'll be fun, and it'll help you have the best year that you've had yet in 2021. All right, it's been fun. Thank you so much once again. I truly, truly appreciate it. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.